Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Man.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL365.
Young Busy Bomb.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Randy Rand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is the show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming to get a put on. We needed a platform to fight the beat, the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow up with it.com. Follow in your needs, production and music, and master and graphics, and shadow the time. Check out the archives and touch with the show. Replay the economy, you would have did. Everything free to download this team. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we beat, we brought our bitch, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we should love to all you fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's curious for life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, representing for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so me, sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder masking music show. Free the homie gangsta bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
up
forever, bitch, we coming in strong. I see you feeding for the show.
Yeah, welcome to episode 478 of the Murder Master Music Show. We're creeping up on that 500 mark. And tonight we have a guest who really needs no introduction. You know what I'm saying? The man is, not only part of a hip-hop group that's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's also, you know what I'm saying, an esteemed author, activist, speaker, you name it. This guy, he's really got his hands full with all kinds of different things, and he's a champion of the people, that's for damn sure, too. Professor Griff. I'm going to bring him on in just a second. He's getting ready to put out a film, or he's getting ready to actually start production on a film called The Oculist. He's going to need your help. He wants you to, consider donating at GoFundMe, you know what I'm saying? But I want to read just a little bit of this to you. This is very interesting. The Oculists are the ones that write the perception by which we view the non-reality. They fashion the lens through which we are supposed to understand symbols. The Oculus manipulates and controls your perception by hiding symbols within symbols. This technique of seeing and not knowing locks us into false belief in a system that controls life's outcome. He also is going to answer who is the Oculus and what are their goals, and reveals their techniques and designed to influence you. And on a psychic level, I mean, this is some real deep stuff. We're going to have to bring him on and speak about it. Let me bring on my co-host, Pittsburgh Pat. Pittsburgh, we're going to have a very interesting show. Very interesting show. We got Professor Griff. We're going to chop it up about his film, The Oculist. Griff,
yes,
welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm dealing with it, man. Maintain it. And who's your co-host?
I'm Pittsburgh Pat. I got Pittsburgh Pat, and now Miss Elaine Riddick. She's been fighting against eugenics for decades. She's on the line with us too.
That's a beautiful thing. I wish you would have warned me ahead of time. Last time, I don't know if y'all remember, this was very disastrous. I didn't know anyone else was going to be on the line, but we're gonna make sure this one is smooth. All right.
These are the co-hosts. They're good people. Trust me.
Okay. I trust you, Pittsburgh Pat. And who's the what's the young lady's name?
Elaine. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Elaine, how are you? How are you,
I'm
Elaine?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm maintaining.
I hear you.
All right.
Yeah, and we got the. I just read about the Oculus to the people. sounds like it's going to be a very revealing film, and it's going to, you know, captivate us. Can you tell us a little bit about this and, you know what I'm saying, what's your goal with this project?
Well, answering the second question first, I'm not really good with multiple questions in one paragraph, but the goal actually is very simplistic, since the film is going to be top-heavy, meaning that you might not be able to stomach a box or a bowl of damn popcorn and some an orange to red stuff they give you at the movie theater, or them bonbons, or whatever that stuff they feed people at the movie theater. I don't know. I don't eat it. But it's very simplistic. If I said to you, to the three people that are on the line, listen, there's an accident that happened about a mile up the road. I'm coming in the other direction. I'm seeing y'all headed towards that way, and I stopped y'all, and I just let y'all know there's an accident that happened. And I explained the accident, right? You don't have to understand everything about the accident. You just need to know it's an accident so you could determine which direction you're going to go in a safe direction. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
Okay, I need some kind of response. Let me know y'all there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so if I say to you that I see things that's going on in the society that people don't see, and all I'm doing is sounding the alarm. If everyone in the house is asleep and Professor Griff is the first one to wake up and I sound the alarm and turn the lights on, don't get mad at me because I'm turning the lights on and I'm sounding the alarm. I'm trying to save your life. So
yeah.
My goal is just to make people aware of what's going on. I'm not crying wolf in the movie theater. I'm not yelling out, he's got a gun, get your hand out of my pocket. None of that stuff. You understand what I'm saying? I'm letting people know what I see. Now, some people, it may take them some time to clear the sleep away from their eyes in order to see it. Because even when you mention the name of the film, Oculus, most people don't understand it. Most people never heard of it. Most people are like, is he spelling that wrong, or is he getting that wrong with the occultist? Or I'm like, no, I'm not. It's the Oculus. The Oculus is simply put, these are the people that control and manipulate your perception on how you perceive things. That's all. They're the ones who write the prescription for your eyeglasses on a psychic level.
Yeah.
Simply put.
And these are the ones that pretty much control society.
Well, these are the ones that set the agenda in place. And the people that are next in line, so to speak, the Illuminatis and the different sub-organizations and these people are the ones that use the Oculus techniques, put it that way.
Yeah. And it's definitely, it's needed right now because it seems like people are getting dumber and dumber as we go along. And all the stuff that you've put out there, all the stuff that other people have put out there, other documentary and filmmakers and authors, and people don't even seem to care anymore. What is happening here, Griff? Why are people slipping back, you know what I'm saying, into a vegetative state after they've already been awoke, so to speak?
Well, I think that's by design. They made us think that they would make technology easier, simpler, faster, bigger, brighter, quicker, and more stimulating if we only buy the new this and the new that. You understand what I'm saying? And then we do it not knowing that every single time we buy one of these devices, all right, we pay a price for that. We give up just a little bit more of our freedom, a little bit more of our control to these people to manipulate and control us. And now we're here at the iPhone 10. Now we're here at holograms. Now we're here at smart condoms, smart food, and smart whatever. We're here now. And now that we got here, we're standing here saying, what the fuck happened? How did I get here? You understand what I'm saying? Well, you got here when you submitted at Home Depot when you gave them your zip code. And it's simple, man. Have your zip code. Oh, yeah, so-and-so. You're making a purchase. You're not thinking I'm giving them information about me. Yeah,
that's
you
right.
did. 10, 15 years ago, they built a database based on that.
Mm-hmm.
So now your thumb is unlocking your phone. Your facial recognition is opening your phone. Your eye retina scan is opening your bank account. Pretty soon it's going to be wave your penis over a damn screen, and that's the only way you can unlock your computer.
It might as well. I mean, with the shit that's going on right now, and you're right, they've been cataloging us for years, and it's gotten to the point where they know everything about us. They know
yes.
where your kids go to school, when they go to school, what they learn, everything. And that's scary
right.
as hell. That is. You know what I'm saying? I commend you for doing this work. Do you ever feel that you're the target?
Well, I felt like I was a target since I was a teenager, but I haven't let it stop me. They burned my house down. I didn't let it stop me. I got shot at a few times. I didn't let it stop me. I got kicked out of Public Enemy. I didn't let it stop me. You understand what I'm saying? I got poisoned. I didn't let it stop
Ooh.
Me. So I'm here, and all this is documented.
Yeah.
But I'm not going
well,
to let it stop
me. I mean, it's amazing you're here.
Exactly. You remember when I got kicked out of Public Enemy? People was like, what
yeah,
the fuck happened?
Yeah, 89.
I mean,
yeah, I was just a kid.
That was
remember.
One of my questions for you. I kind of feel like nowadays everybody jumps the gun
and
accusations
bad,
are made. What's that, Pat?
Your phone break it up real bad.
Oh, man. Go ahead and take over the question, Pres. Just ask him about the Public Enemy stuff. Not bad.
Yeah, okay. You get kicked out of the group in 89, right? And this is at the height of the group's success, pretty much. You guys just dropped It Takes a Nation of Millions the year before. Blowing up everywhere, influencing all kinds of other groups. You hear the samples and all this stuff. And you get kicked out of the group and kicked off a Def Jam, so to speak. Take us back to that day and age, and what was it like for you? I imagine that had to be devastating.
No. Actually, it wasn't, to be honest with you. And even in your question, that is absolutely incorrect. I was never on Def Jam. I was never
okay.
signed to Def Jam. The deal was actually a deal that Chuck had, and he brought the rest of us on. The only people that were signed to Def Jam was Chuck and Flavor. Me, Terminator X, S1Ws, Bomb Squad, we have other deals that we've signed with them, which legally they were quote-unquote Public Enemy. You understand what I'm saying as far as the paperwork is concerned? But what made the group, and what made the group run and operate, of course, y'all, the Bomb Squad, of course, Terminator X, of course, Professor Griff and the S1Ws. So that's what made the group. That actually was the group. I'm not sure if I could have or the world would have taken to a Chuck D just coming out as Public Enemy. I'm not sure. Well, he did a solo project, and it didn't. A lot of people were like, he did? Yeah, he did. And, you know, it just didn't measure up. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was never signed to Def Jam. And then number two, it wasn't devastating because that was my plan along with Chuck's plan. We sat and we planned it out. 2 years in, or 2 years out, pardon me, or in, we would just kind of, you know, leave it all alone. Because we didn't know we were going to be mega famous and known by everybody, and we didn't know the group was going to have the impact that it had. So we were thinking, get in, shock the industry, turn that motherfucker upside down, and get out. Hopefully we can get out with our lives. That was the plan. What happened? Wow, that is a long story. I ended up getting thrown under the bus. Yeah, and getting vilified.
You were made out to be the bad guy, so to speak, and the fall guy.
Exactly, when what I said was basic, normal conversation among black men in the hood, whether white people were around or not. That was basic, normal conversation. And if you ask anybody that grew up in 1 square mile from any hood anywhere and you really didn't have no contact with white people, oh, that shit is rough, rugged, and raw. Shit.
And when this all transpired, you said you were thrown under the bus, which, you know, it made headlines and all kinds of stuff. Why did they choose you to throw under the bus? I would think you would be a very vital part of the group. I mean, why not throw the hype man under the bus?
Right. I think because I was the one funneling the information. I was the one basically, or I was, you know, you got to keep in mind, I was the road manager. I was Professor Griff, leader of the S1Ws. So I set up how the show looks, how we ran it, what songs we played. That was my job. That was my role. You understand what I'm saying? So when we're talking about, like, doing songs and that kind of thing, basically the formula was, you know, I would provide the information. Not all of the information. I don't want to take anything away from Chuck. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to take anything away from the Bomb Squad. But the information that I provided, which was never heard of in the music industry, I provide information. I'm like, look, this right here is vital. We need to talk about this. Here's some samples. Here's some other things. And when you got somebody, like, on your team like that, that's doing all of the, not all of, but some of the background work, it's easy to do what we did. You understand what I'm saying? It was our formula. So I didn't think anyone had to get thrown under the bus.
No.
If we'd have stuck to the plan.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for that to happen at all. But you notice, it almost seems like if anybody goes in that direction, you know what I'm saying, towards the people that run the industry, so to speak, they're going to come down with wrath upon you, they say. And they do this to a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? It's real easy to get thrown under the bus in hip-hop, especially, it seems. Because you'll see guys that come out with phenomenal success, and then they're gone. You know, something happened where they were X'd out of the game, so to speak. But you didn't get X'd out of the game. You just went down south to start making music with, Luke Records and whatnot. But before we go any further, you got a question about Pittsburgh. You back with us, brother?
Yeah. I'm here. I apologize for the faulty line earlier.
That's all right.
Yeah, Griff, I have a question for you, Griff. This is just a question as a fan, and it's just like a hip-hop trivia type of joint. The Public Enemy logo, rumor has it, that logo is Run DMC. And I heard Jadakiss in an interview the other day, and he said that Chuck D says that logo was Run DMC, but it was just symbolizing the, you know, the black man being targeted. However, Jadakiss said that there's rumors out there that it was kind of malicious towards Run from Run DMC. So could you clear that up for us?
Well, Jadakiss, you know, we cool, and I'm not going to say anything to throw shade on that brother, but he's absolutely wrong. That's E-Love. And E-Love was...
That's who?
That's E-Love. He was LL Cool J's man, hype man, on stage.
Wow.
E-Love always used to come on stage with the velour hat on, standing in a B-boy stand.
Wow.
So if you Google E-Love, was it
like a diss to him, or was it like, you know, saying how the black man is targeted? Like, you know what I mean? Was it that reason that Chuck gave, or was it malicious towards him?
Nah, we had no reason to be malicious to anybody.
Okay.
Not E-Love, not Run, not any of the people we came up with. Nah, there's no reason for that. But you got to keep in mind, we weren't children. We were grown-ass men coming in the industry. You understand what I'm saying? I'm 57 right now. I came in the industry when I was 26, 27. I was fucking grown. So we had no reason to do stuff like that. That shit is childish. E-Love know it's him. He know who it is. Chuck know who it is. We know who it is. I don't know where Jada Kids got that from. And why would we want to diss anybody? That's some childish shit. We don't do that.
Yeah, well, Jada Kids didn't say that he knew for a fact it was a diss. Like, I want to clear that part up.
No, you said it's a rumor. He said... Right.
Yeah, he was making it clear that it was a rumor. I don't want it to sound like Jadakiss is putting that, like, saying that that's what it meant. But I heard that it was,
listen,
I heard that rumor too that it was Ron. But that's cool. Like, thanks for clearing that up. That's kind of even more dope than it being Ron.
Well, why are we even wasting our time having a conversation like that? Because my fucking phone number's been out there for 15 years. Anybody can call me and ask me who it is. Shit. Just pick up the phone and call my number. Shit, it ain't hard. How did y'all get in touch with me? Shit. Well, just pick up the phone and text me like, yo, I got a question to ask you. Like, what's up?
Well, it's not difficult.
You've
always been in the public, you know. You were talking about earlier, you know what I'm saying, that there's been attempts on your life and stuff, man. What about today? You roll with a lot of security? Is your life hectic now? You got to look over your shoulder when you go out just to go to the grocery store?
Are you serious? You asking me that?
Yeah.
You must not know who you're talking to.
Things cool down a little bit for you is what I mean.
You from Pittsburgh?
No, I'm from Illinois.
Okay, we're going to have to get you down against the sun, bruh. Yeah. I don't give a fuck about these motherfuckers, man. I don't care about that. I don't have no fear. Fuck.
So you're in Atlanta now?
Who did you think you was interviewing tonight? Fuck. Fucking MC Search or somebody?
No.
That's a grift.
No, we know about MC. You and MC Search, definitely.
I'm not talking about Search. I'm asking you, who did you think you were interviewing? I don't have fear like that, bro. I don't live my life like that, man. You understand what I'm saying? I just don't. I go to the grocery store. What time is it? As a matter of fact, I might go to the grocery store after I get off the line with y'all. I don't have no fear. I don't live my life like that, man. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think this is something that you might want to incorporate in your life. When the Creator contacts you, whatever God you serve, and puts you on a mission, it is God's duty and responsibility to protect you. As long as you're staying on the path. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, Mr. Pittsburgh, Pat, when it's my time to go, I'm going to go. Not when they say I'm going. Fuck them.
No. Well, I appreciate you for informing the people and continuing to do what you do. You know what I'm saying? And I hope this film, you know what I'm saying, really gets... The shine that it needs. You know what I'm saying? How close are you to putting it together?
We're starting the production in January. This is strictly between us and the thousands of people that may hear this, but I've had meeting after meeting where people don't even call me back because they're scared. They are afraid. I'm not talking about... Listen... I put out a book called Symbology, The Psychological Covert War on Hip-Hop. Mm. That was book two. Book one was The Psychological Covert War on Hip-Hop, where I'm breaking and decoding hip-hop and I'm breaking it down. So I'm naming names. I'm quote-unquote calling these people out for the things that they're doing and the associations and the alliances that they have, all right, with these supposedly subsidiaries of these people that's operating for the Illuminati. And I'm seeing signs and symbols that I'm decoding and breaking down to people. I put it in a book. They didn't get it in the first book, so I put it in another book. So I'm saying to myself, these are the things that's going on around us, and we have to be awake and aware, and I'm soundingly alarmed. And they said, you don't think you're going to get in trouble? You don't think you're going to? So I'm going to meetings now talking to people that said that they understand what I was doing. And they're running away from me and backing down like, scared little pussies. And I'm like, wow, for real? We're going to die one day, sooner or later, right or wrong. Why not put the information out there? Some people in the meeting are saying, oh, Griff, we're with you, man. We're going to put up X amount of money. We're going to do this. We're going to tap into our resources, and we're going to make sure we can do this. And no, here it is, Sunday night. I'm empty-handed. You understand what I'm saying? So the production is starting in January. And it's not going to be an easy task when you start decoding the logo from Bank of America and Wendy's and Murder King and Drunken Donuts and McDevil's and Toxic Hell and Dairy Queer and some of these other places that we eat from, that we bank at. How are they in and the rest of them? Because all the Oculus film is breaking and decoding these symbols that are operating right in front of us that we see every single day. You drive by Taco Bell every goddamn day, and we don't know what the logo means and who owns and runs it and who they in bed with and who they in cahoots with.
That's right.
So I said, let me break it down so that people can see exactly who they're dealing with. What really pains me and hurt me to my heart during the Occupy Wall Street. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those protests? Well-to-do, smart, intelligent people like y'all were standing out across the street from these buildings with nobody in them, yelling and screaming, holding up signs. I'm like, wow, that's not a waste of fucking time. I wanted to get out there with y'all, but I'm like, nah, can't do that. There's a better way. So then guess what it gave birth to? Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And Anonymous went and took the reins of power, so to speak, and they used the World Wide Web, which we need to talk about, and they used it as a tool to get the information out. We need to work smarter and not harder.
That's right.
I'm saying this film has to work. Whether I live through it or die, it has to work because we got to get the information out to the people.
Yeah, before the internet is completely shut down, the way
you hit it right
the way things are going. What are your thoughts on net neutrality? Can you speak on that for a few?
I'm tired of talking about net neutrality. I've been talking about net neutrality for the last 4 years. Nobody would listen.
Yeah, nobody.
They were like, oh, man, come on, cut that out. I'm uploading jokes and comedy and shit on YouTube. I'm uploading pictures of my naked girlfriend and shit. I'm having fun on Periscope and Instagram and whatever. I'm like, bro, it's coming. I'm telling you, they're going to make you pay for every attachment. They're going to regulate it. Oh, come on, Griff, you bugging, man. Yeah, for real. You believe in that conspiracy shit, Griff? So now it's no longer a conspiracy. It's right in front of us. And all them fuckers owe me an apology. Because I told them it was coming, and now it's here. It's here.
That happens a lot.
You're neutralizing.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
I was just going to say, it happens a lot. You tell people about these things, and then they just blow it off, and then they start to come true one by one. And, you know, they still don't seem to care. I don't know why.
Right, because I gave one prediction out of the 10 I had in my mind. One lonely afternoon on a Saturday, I didn't have anything to do. Someone wanted to interview me. I told them to come by, interview me, and they did. And that particular interview right now has 1.5 million hits and views. And all I said was, they're coming after Cat Williams. They said, well, how do you know? I said, I know, because I can see it. He's telling too much of the inside stuff that's going on and how they work and how they operate. Not a week or two later, they came after Cat Williams. Now, I don't even like to do predictions. But I told people very subtly and quietly, and I put it on the screen, and you could go on YouTube and watch it. I talked about net neutrality. I said they're going to neutralize the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are.
Well, you've been speaking on a whole bunch of things for years. You've been speaking on what's been going on in the world of entertainment that's coming to light right now. People like Harvey Weinstein, people like Russell Simmons. What are your thoughts about Russell? Because I was shocked. I was like, holy shit, not Russ.
You said you were shocked?
Well, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, yeah. I idolized Run DMC and stuff, and I knew about Russell Simmons, and he was just one of those figures I always thought was a good dude, but apparently I was wrong.
That fucking slimy piece of fucking shitball. Fuck that ball-headed ass fucking coward. He ain't never been shit. He wanted to take credit for signing Public Enemy, which he didn't. It was Rick that had interest in Public Enemy, not Russell. Fuck Russell. Fuck that prick. I wish the fuck that man, if he would have did that shit to my child, my daughter, oh shit, we wouldn't even be on the phone right now.
Yeah.
I'd see that coward for real. Now I don't put nothing past none of them fuckers in the music industry and in Hollywood. I wrote about all of them in my book, The Psychological Covert War on Hip Hop, and I warned people about these people.
No.
So he was picking off young girls and young boys. Poor fella.
Yeah, his cousin, he did tell us, dude from Flatliners, that he witnessed like rituals over there. You know, and I was like, well,
yeah.
I was like, man, at the time I didn't want to hear it, but then I started watching your videos. I started hearing other stories, and now I think there's 5 or 6 women that have come forward and saying they were raped. And it's like, my thing is this. If you're not guilty, bring forth lawsuits against everyone that's accusing you. You know, that goes for Bambada.
Yep.
That goes for any one of these people. If you're not guilty, bring forth lawsuits against your accusers. And you're not seeing that.
I'm not saying that at all. Matter of fact, when I look at these characters and their facial expression and their body language, they don't even act like they're innocent. You understand what I'm saying? When you look at them, it's like if I'm innocent, you will see it in my countenance, my facial expression, body language, the intonation of my voice. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah,
I'm not
you're
going
right.
to be a PR person. I'm not going to. To try to kind of just kind of, no, I don't need to speak to a PR person. You can talk to me directly, shit. Bring my accuser in front of me. Let's talk. Make it happen. And then I'm going to turn around and sue him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. I'd be fighting for my name left and right because no one's going to put that kind of shade on me if I know I'm 100% innocent. And
exactly.
You're not seeing these guys fight. And more and more coming to light. Now, I know Corey Feldman, he came out talking about he's putting together a project or whatnot to expose people and things of that nature. But it's like we've known about this for years because of people like yourself, Griff.
Mm-hmm.
Now that this stuff is coming out into the light, do you think we're going to see more in the hip-hop realm? I mean, you got Russ, you got Bambada. Is there anybody else that could be next?
Well, you got to remember Africa Bambada. You got to remember L.A. Reid. You forgot a few. There's about at least
Benny Medina,
5.
I believe.
There's about 5 before those guys, before the Russell Simmons of the world. You got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this stuff's definitely getting crazy. Griff, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I want to give you a chance to have the floor and, you know what I'm saying, if there's anything you want to say before we get out of here, it's all yours. How can people help you achieve the goal of raising the funds for this film?
I think the best way the people can do that, I know a lot of times someone said in the meeting, why are you launching it during Christmas? I said, because everyone doesn't celebrate Christmas. And if anyone out there that's conscious, and anyone, because they act like everyone's a Christian. Like during Ramadan, they act like everyone's a Muslim. I'm like, no. People make their own decision on whether or not they want to have Satan or Santa come down their chimney. And most people I know in this day and age that we live in don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to spare.
Sorry.
So I'm saying whatever they have, I'm going to put this film together regardless. But do I want the nickels and dimes to help? Of course I do. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's the little things that count. So if they just go to www.gofundme.com/professor-griff-film-oculus-inc. That's Professor Griff Film Oculus Inc. with a dash in between each one of those words. I'll send you guys the link so you can post it up and put it on the broadcast, up under the broadcast. But I think it's very important. Those other people, and you know who I'm talking about, they're not going to finance a film like this.
Yeah.
So let me give you an example. Elaine, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm going to need your input, all right?
Okay.
Okay. I need you all to tell me, especially if you have a computer sitting in front of you, what does the Bank of America logo look like?
Hang on 1 second. I got one in front of me, man.
It looks like, what you call those things that you throw and they come back? A boomerang.
A boomerang, right. So if you really look close now, Elaine, the Bank of America logo is actually a square.
Yeah.
And inside of the square, if you look in it instead of at it, Elaine, you'll see that the logo is made up of three number 11s.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Jesus.
And it's red and blue, which is the Hegelian dialectic principle. Democrat, Republican, Crip, Blood, opposing forces, right or wrong?
Yeah.
Now, Elaine, I know you're smart. I hear it in your voice. And the brother from Pittsburgh going to help you out. What's the 11th letter of the alphabet?
Somebody help me out.
K.
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 And I was going to say J.
K.
So, actually, you got three number 11s, which is K, 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 inside of the Bank
Ooh.
Of America logo, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, aren't you curious right now? What the fuck is that? What correlation do they have? And somebody's hiding these logos?
Wow, that is
funny. Hidden within a logo. I mean,
that's heavy.
So we have to look at it now and say, now, what is really going on now?
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying?
Can I tell you what comes to my mind? Can I tell you what comes to my mind?
What comes to your mind?
White supremacists, Planned Parenthood, because you know they pay for to abort babies.
Right. So now we got to go back and look at all them documentary films that broke this stuff down and explained it. All them people that they assassinated, like William Cooper. All of them people that they neutralized, like Jordan Maxwell. All of them people like Michael Tesserian that told us. All right? Even the ones y'all think are halfway crazy, like Alex Jones. We still got to go back and listen now because they were saying something that we should have listened to. Who are these people? And why didn't know this? That's just one example. I'm putting 39 other examples in the film that's right in front of us.
Wow.
This is going to be amazing.
You got me in, man.
Yeah, me too.
To get it shot, I know I'm going to need $50,000. That's not a lot of money. Listen, you know how many people I know? You know how many people know Professor Griffin have heard my work and then they listen to me on YouTube or wherever? If they just gave a dollar, we're fine. We could get it made. You understand what I'm saying? If they just go to the GoFundMe.
I was just on one of your sites, and you gave a six. You have a 678 number and you have a 404 number. I don't know if it was. I was just glancing. Are you in Atlanta?
Well, I'm in Atlanta. Yeah, and the 678 number is mine.
Oh, cool.
So
I live
in
Atlanta.
If we just said, listen, Griff knows hundreds of thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands of people know him. And if the person would just say, look, okay, I tell you what, I'm just going to do my part. I'm just going to give him $5. That's all I could do right now because, you know, I got to pay child support and alimony and, you know, I need some socks, whatever. I'm good. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We can make it happen. At www.gofundme.com/Professor Griff Film, Oculus Inc. Or you could just go to GoFundMe and put in Professor Griff. It'll come up.
And if I didn't want to go through GoFundMe, is there another
call
way?
Call me directly and say, Griff, meet me downtown. I got a check for you. You understand what I'm saying? And I meet you downtown. I'm an approachable person. You understand what I'm saying? People can call me at 678-557-2919. They don't have to go through GoFundMe. They can just come to the lecture and say, look, here you go.
Do you ever come to Marietta?
I spoke in Marietta a couple of times.
Oh, okay, because I live up in
I'm up in Marietta. As a matter of fact, there's a couple of white cats I know I go to the range with up there.
Okay. Well, can you give him my number?
Yeah. We'll.
Next time you're in the area, just hit me up and I can. It would be easy because I don't drive it downtown anymore. It's a little too hectic.
Okay.
So, you know, just and I'm serious about this. He'll give you my information, and you know, I would meet you somewhere.
Okay, cool. My thing is, I let people know. I give people my PO box. They got my phone number. A lot of people just don't have credit cards. A lot of people just, you know, strap for cash. And I truly understand it. But there are people out there that want to give. They have the desire to give, but they're sitting, Elaine. They are sitting on talents that I might need. Like right now, I went on Fiverr and a few other places to get a cover done for the poster. There's people that have talents right now that say, oh, Griff, I can knock that out for you. That's their
donation.
And
that is so true. That is correct. That is
yeah,
so
right.
Right, because a lot of us have skills, and all we have to do is just make a trade. I mean, you have a skill that I might need. Somebody might have another skill, and someone might have another one, but people don't think like that.
Yeah, they really don't. And I'm doing a barter with a group that want me to come speak, and they said, well, what's your fee? I said, instead of y'all paying me a fee, let's just sit down and figure out how y'all can help me with the film. You got some graphic artists, you got some people with some cameras, you got some, you know how to edit. Let's make it happen. You understand what I'm saying? Because truly, this has to be about educating the people. But this is the work that Public Enemy is supposed to be doing any old way.
Right.
Yeah.
Listen, I walked across that stage, and they inducted me into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm still that dude from Roosevelt, Long Island, though, that want to raise the consciousness level of the human family. I'm still approachable. I'm still that dude. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. And that's a good thing.
That's real.
That's a good thing because there's a lot of things that we need to know. And by the way, when were you in Roosevelt?
I was born and raised in Roosevelt.
Really?
Born and raised.
I lived in Long Beach.
Okay.
Yeah, right
Beach
on the border.
DJ all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's important that we educate people because there's a lot going on in the background and everybody's afraid of speaking the truth.
Right.
Say what it is. You know, it needs to be said.
Exactly.
You know, I've been doing a lot of talking myself. As a matter of fact, I think I've met you before. I think I've met you. I used to live in Park Towers off of Hammond Drive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we probably did meet. I'm the tall, light-skinned dude with freckles.
I probably met. No, you're not. No, you don't have freckles. But a lot of guys used to come up in there, And that was on Hammond, right there at the, what do you call that place? I can't think of it. Off of Roswell Road. Yeah. Anyway, I'm the girl that is fighting eugenics and exposing eugenics in America. You know, you can Google me up, and you know, I'm doing a whole lot, and you know, so I understand and I hear everything that you're saying, and I agree with you 100%, and that's why you have my support.
Oh, give thanks. I really appreciate that, Elaine. All right, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Griff. Really I appreciate you, man.
No, nah, no problem, man. Anytime, man. Make sure you'll get this recording to me.
Man.
Oh, yeah, give thanks. Make sure you'll get this recording to me, and make sure you text me Elaine's number, all right? I really appreciate y'all. I'll see y'all down the road at one of these premieres when I premiere this film, all right?
Definitely. I'll put the Oculus GoFundMe links on the page, too. So take care, man. All right,
stay up, man. All right, peace.
That's what it is. Shout out to Professor Griff. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you guys hit up that GoFundMe page for the Oculus. You know what I'm saying? Wow. That was a very dope interview. Did he call Russell Simmons a fucking piece of shit? Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah, well, you know, given...
That Bank of America shit, I never looked at that. I mean, there's 311s right there. That's crazy.
Yeah, and the thing is, believe it or not, they're paying to have people killed, man. You know, I mean, they're paying to have babies slaughtered. You know, I mean, actually paying Planned Parenthood. What kind of organization or group or corporation would do that? You know, and who owns these? Who own these banks? We have to go, like you said, got to go all the way back. And we're supporting them. We're going to them. We're banking with them. We're paying them. I mean, it's just like we might as well be the ones that's paying for these crazy things that they're doing or paying for these killings that they're doing, you know, and then they're robbing from us.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, it's always been the have-nots. I mean, it's always going to be that way, and they're always going to continue to put their foot on the throats of the people.
That's right.
Shout out to Griff for coming through. Hell of a show tonight, guys. You know what I'm saying? It was pretty intense. You know, this film that he has, he says there's about 39 or 40 of these different symbols that he's going to uncover. I can't wait to see it. I hope it gets made as soon as possible. I really do. It sounds very interesting. And it's scary. I mean, this shit is scary to think about it. That these scumbags are in control of pretty much everything. Gotta watch out. Definitely gotta watch out.
I wanted to ask him about the Black Boule, if he was involved with the Black Boule.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are, like, you know, Illuminati's, they'll sell out. What they do is they sell all of these rich black people. They are part of this organization, and they're, you know, selling black people out, and, you know, they're working along with these other people. You know, it's crazy.
Exactly. I mean,
you know, these are the Black Illuminati's people, Black Illuminati, the Black Masons.
Rich Africans sold poor Africans into slavery, traded them for sugar and all kinds of goods or whatever the hell those powdered wig idiots gave them. You know what I'm saying? Little Pilgrim Johnny on his stupid Jesus Christ boat. It's always been the haves against the have-nots. You know, if you have money, you're good. You're going to be spared. You're not going to have to worry about nothing. You know, but if you don't have money, you're going to get the brunt of all the bullshit. And sadly, you know, we live in a racist society. I mean, look what's going on with these guys with the tiki torches. All that bullshit in Charlottesville. You know, they're actually, one of the guys was in court today, one of the scumbags, who pulled out a gun and shot it into the crowd. And a bunch of his KKK buddies were up there rallying for him. And it's like,
wow.
Disgusting.
know.
Yeah, look at what happened with, what's that girl's name, the black girl that was just fired out of the White House?
Ponderosa.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to her.
She's the president's Ponderosa. She was his lacey.
I mean, for real, I mean, did he get mad because she wouldn't come up
Trump
to his room?
Trump was having all he could eat at Ponderosa.
Yo, listen, that's what I keep saying, man. If we really want to get Trump, man, one of these girls just got to take one for the team, man. You know he's not turning nothing down. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean,
they just gotta fucking get him, man, and turn him in.
Look,
you know
they're supporting this man. How can you support somebody that raped a 13-year-old kid?
Yeah,
man, he does all kinds of
shit. What's
all that shit? What's crazy? Yo, what's crazy though is every other walk of life, every other fucking job, a girl says somebody harassed them 20 years ago, and they're gone. Like 50 fucking people said Trump did something to him, and he's just sitting there cool.
And
like,
he's just
crazy.
Sitting there. But y'all know why, right? And I'm going to tell you, and this is really crazy. This is what this Griff was talking about.
That's crazy.
You know, they got mad at me the other day because I told them. Now, first of all, I live in Atlanta. I live in Georgia. They was voting in Alabama. And the girl got mad at me because I told my friends, I said, go out and just go out and vote. It doesn't matter who you vote for. So they got mad at me and came back and said, yes, it do. Why in the hell would I tell them to vote for Roy Moore when he's a child molester? And then on top of that, he made the statement. And, you know, I've been molested myself. And then he made the statement and said that America was great when African Americans were slaves.
Yeah.
And you want me to vote for somebody like that? You want me to vote for us to go back into slavery? And I'm glad this Jones guy won. Maybe he can go out there and you see what happened. Now they're giving kids back their programs, and the elderly gonna have more benefits. You see, if this guy had won, it wouldn't have been nothing like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
how you doing,
so
Elaine? It's Mike Jay.
I ain't heard
from you in a while. It's good to hear your voice, Elaine. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, good. Who is this?
This is Mac Jay.
I ain't been on in a while. What's up?
On Sunday.
I didn't even know you was on the phone. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Prayer just brought me in. I just wanted to make sure I said hello to you, you know.
Hi.
Y'all speaking that real good talk. That's what the people need.
It was a hell of an interview. You hear the interview with Professor Griff. He yelled at me a couple times. It was great. But he called Russell Simmons a fucking piece of shit.
Prez asked him a question, and he got mad about the question but blamed me for it.
That was great.
What was the question, though?
Don't tell me.
I'm just going to listen to it.
Here. You know, because his house was set on fire, he was poisoned, he was shot at, and I asked him if he was, does he have to walk around and, you know, look behind his shoulders and whatnot, and do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who this is? He went off on me a little bit, you know, but I didn't give him a label
on me.
Man, I'm not going to be that way with Griff. He does a lot for people, you know, and him just doing it, putting himself at great risk. You know, shout out to him.
But I look at it like this sometimes too. I guess we always at a great risk any damn way. So it's
forever.
Like picking your battle. You know what I'm saying? Because we already know they don't want the kids to prosper. We know that. That's the main thing. So we keep the kids' minds mumbled jumbled with all this bullshit
off.
Keep us dependent on shit, Chris.
That's what's really sad about it. And the thing is that, you know, they just want this little circle of people to benefit. The hell with everybody else. You know, you have to agree with them. And like I was telling somebody, if a black 2-year-old kid is shot down in the street, like when the 17-year-old raped that little 2-year-old baby, they wanted to put it on the baby. And like when the judge raped the 1-year-old baby, for 2 years or 3 years, the judge said it was the baby's fault. And they agreed with the judge. So why in the heck should I put somebody like that in office? You know?
Exactly.
I mean, but this is the type of world that we're living in now. The world is so evil. And everything this group of people want, this is what they're going to have. And I'm going to say is the evangelicals, Catholic people. These are evil people. I don't care if
they're
listening to me.
They put pedophiles
ahead
of
yeah, it's like now it ain't because it's been evil shit forever, but now it's like it's more of the evil or the ill will people than the people that's really looking out for people. We getting overpowered. Like if you really looking out for somebody, it's two or three people that's telling that same kid, fuck with that old dude talking about, man, let's go out here and get this money, or you know what I'm saying? Like that school shit ain't gonna do nothing. Just because it didn't do shit for you don't mean it won't do something for the next kid. And that's how everybody should be looking at it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I be telling people, challenge your kids when they come home from school. Challenge the shit that they teaching them because they not giving them the real tools. So you have to do more with your kids as opposed to just thinking that they're going to be good in school because school ain't giving them shit. School just giving them something to, you know.
It's just indoctrinating your kids to think their way. Right, and when what happened with the kid, they're twisting the kid's brain and teaching them nothing but lies. So like you say, you still have to sort of, some kind of way, monitor your own kid.
Yeah, you have to. Because if you rely on somebody else to do it, you ain't going to get, you know what I'm saying? And there's some good kids still out here, man. So, a lot of them. Like, so I refuse to be just thinking that these motherfuckers is just, every kid is out here on some bad crazy. No, man, they just don't got the right guidance. And ain't nothing set up for them to win. It's set up for them to be going through the bullshit that we going through right now. That's what it's set up for. Keep everybody in the same, like you said, the same little.
So now you have 90 kids in Georgia that's between 12 and 14 that's already in adult prison for life. This is what they're setting your kids up for. Minor things. They're taking your little 12 and 13 and 14-year-old kids and they're sending them straight to prison for life. Google it up.
Hey, Elaine.
Now, that's what I'm talking about.
Elaine, Shin wants to talk to you from France. Shin, you there?
Yes, sir.
You got a question for Elaine?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
How are
you? Hi. Hi, everybody. Yes, I have a question about what's your think about the ESIS papers of Dr. Franz Quest Welsing and all the black literature like Rino Kurashidi, Madhubuti, or Ivan Fansartima, you know, about underground literature, black knowledge, and also about Andrews Kabit Kirsch. Can you tell us about them if you know them?
About who again?
Oh, yeah, it's about Franz Quest Welsing. You know, ESIS Papers book.
Oh, Francis Scott?
Yeah, Franz Quest Welsing. Yeah.
Oh, he was one of the biggest racists there is. He's a eugenicist. You know, he believed in the same thing that Dalton. That's who I'm talking about. Francis Scott. Is it Francis Scott Dalton? He's a big eugenicist.
No, not him. No, it's Franz Quest Welsing, the ESIS papers. It's a Dr. Franz Quest Welsing. Maybe you don't know about.
Is that a black lady?
Yeah. It's ESIS papers.
Oh, man, I love that lady. I was just reading some of her work the other day. She is so real. I mean, she tells it like it is. You know, she has so many books out, and she speaks the truth.
Yeah.
She speaks the
also,
truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
And I agree with her. You know, I mean, she breaks it all the way down. She breaks it all the way down. And what I read the other day, I came across her just out of nowhere. And what she was giving a lecture. And what I read about her, I mean, what she was talking about, she actually broke it down. Like she said, we are not even. She broke let me see. I think she broke this thing here down in components about the white slavery and all that stuff. And she also said that we were not the minority of people, that these are things that we are being taught.
Yeah.
That we are the minorities,
right,
when we are not. We are not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, you're not at all. but the system in place is an evil system. It's been this way for years. And Griff pointed out in his Oculus, you know, this shit's hidden within symbols. Symbols within symbols. It's everywhere. Everywhere. I got to see this film. I really got to see this film as soon as possible. But until then, you know, we'll just keep checking in with Griff and see what's going on. And, you know, hopefully we can have him back on the show again. Great interview, guys. I appreciate you guys for calling in the lines with me tonight. Next week, what's next week, Christmas Eve? I don't know if we're going to do nothing on Christmas Eve. People will be with their families and whatnot.
And then you're going to have, what's the guy's name?
The Saturday,
from
me and
England.
Me and Velma are going to do a Christmas Underground Saturday night. She said she'd good to do
it's
something.
It's Friday,
so,
the 23rd. You know. That'd be the 23rd.
No, Saturday. Yeah,
Saturday
is the 23rd.
My bad.
Yeah, because Christmas on Monday this year.
I'm calling Friday.
Saturday night. Underground.
There.
I gotta holler at you behind the scenes so I can you can show me again how to upload some shit. We're gonna get some Christmas songs going. We're gonna tell maybe me and Velvet might sing Christmas Carol.
That's
hey, don't forget to give Griff my phone number, Prez, the 770 number.
Yes, sir.
Because I keep that phone with me, and you know, I'll do what I can.
Elaine, you say you live in Atlanta.
Yeah, I live in East Cobb.
My sister lives in Cobb County.
Oh, really? What part?
Next time, I was down there. Well, at one point she was in Powder Springs, but she moved somewhere else now. But she told me she's still in Cobb County. I just asked her that yesterday because I know somebody
else that
said
they
stay down that way.
Powder Springs is not far from me.
When I come down, I'm gonna make sure I hit you up. And I'll come.
Get my number from Prez.
Yeah, good old them folks down, they getting to the money. And in them areas though.
Yeah,
I ain't
gonna
lie, Prez. First time I went down, I started seeing a whole lot of these nice houses and stuff. I was like, man, who all out here? So you know, cause like out here, it's kind of divided. Like you can almost tell what type of people live in certain areas. It's still like that. You know what I'm saying? But when I went down there, I'm thinking it's gonna be all white people that lived over there. It was nothing but all black people.
Mm-hmm. We got some nice
but if
places.
But if you come to an area out here that look like that, it's mostly, you know, divided with the white people. And well, we got a lot of Bosnians here, too, in St. Louis. I don't know where, how they got a lot of Bosnians, but there's plenty of them here.
Hello?
Yeah. Prayers, y'all still there? Prayer. Maybe they calls dropped or something. We'll see what's going on.
Well, I'm going to get off.
Okay.
All right. Don't forget. You get my number.
Yeah, I get it from you. And then when I come down, I'll make sure I run up on you.
Okay, dear. Good night.
All right. Take it easy, Elaine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was Elaine. That was Elaine. You know what I'm saying? What's going on with it, man? I'm still here. It looks like I'm the only one on Prez and Pat. They had in the cut. You know what I'm saying? But I'm still here. What's going on, Prez? Talk to me. Where y'all at? Sam, you still there too? Sam might still be there.
Prez is missing. Prez is missing.
Prez and Pat, they missing, man. So y'all sitting here with me and Sam. What's going on with it though, Sam?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You fine?
I'm so right.
What's the weather like? What's the weather like in France for the Christmas holiday? Do it get cold out there or what?
It's cold snow. Nothing much.
Y'all don't get no snow?
Yeah. Only though.
Shit, we don't got no snow right now.
Yeah, a little
we got
snow.
Shit.
Not much.
Supposed to rain today.
We have the same up weather.
Oh, the same type of weather?
Guys, we
the
have
same
half
yeah. Project.
We have a
Prayers, where you
a
at?
Special guest on the line, guys. 804, please introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Hugh Charlson, and I'm actually a global visionary. I've had quite a bizarre life. I'm a former whistleblower. There's a front page Wall Street Journal article on a big website, rootingoutcorruption.weebly.com, that was written up in 1983. That article triggered an investigation that eventually led to the resignation of Jim Wright from Speaker of the House in shame, the third highest office in the country. And the article beautifully describes how special interests and lobbyists have totally corrupted Washington. And nothing has changed because people are apathetic or they don't know what to do or how to do it. So I'm standing in truth and light to show people with existing technologies now, we can unite very quickly. We outnumber these global elites, and I put them in fear. I'm no longer in fear. I'm 73, and I had a near-death experience back in 2007. I'm in the veterans healthcare system, and I call out the global elites, and I say, even if you have a hitman take me out, I ask God that I can eat the hitman's brains out from the spirit. Well, it'll be quite painful. I'll be more gentle on him than the guy who hired him. So I'm still saying I'm putting
man.
Them on notice. The fear
no,
goes to them,
you.
Though, not me.
You want to eat his brains. Yeah, that, I agree. Well, you know, they say in ancient cultures, if you eat the brain of your enemy, you gain his wisdom and power. Do you believe in that as well?
No, I just believe a very simple belief system. I was raised Catholic. I'm not a practicing Catholic, and I do believe in Jesus Christ. That's where I resonate. But Jesus never hit anybody over the head with a club and said, follow me. He knows you have free will. He gave two basic things on how people should live their life. Number one, always put God first. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's where we have to go. And I was in survival, and I throw this out just for people to at least think about it a little bit deeper before you go into a rage and fight each other.
Yeah.
If I was the greatest survivalist on the planet and killed everybody, what a wonderful guy I am, and I'm the only one left, all of a sudden an AT comes along, takes me out. What the heck did I accomplish? So because I'm white, I should go be hung up because I never hurt any black person, but because I'm white, that's the next wave that's going to come. That's repeating history. Now, we have to break that old paradigm, and we do it with the God energy of unconditional agape love. I think, I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Reverend Michael Beckwith of the Agape Church out in Los Angeles. It was in the movie The Secret, and it was in another movie, Heal, H-E-A-L, a beautiful documentary on spiritual self-healing.
Well, you wrote this article. Okay, this is in 83. Here we are, you know, like you said, not much has changed. Matter of fact, things have actually gotten worse.
That's exactly the point. That's where things shifted. Yes, they don't want that to happen anymore. So this was the SNL banking scandal was back in that time, too. I think they tried to crash the economy back then. But anything related to chaos, they don't care. That's what when the president says facts don't matter. Come on, now, what are you talking about? That's what all the laws are based on are facts. You prove your case with facts. You don't just go with sound bites and people grab that and run with it. But
yo,
that's why people,
where are you from, man? Yo, where are you
I'm
from?
Originally from New York. I grew up in Queens, but I'm currently living in the center of the universe now, Ashland, Virginia. That's what they call it.
How did you find us?
So do you know MC Shan?
I'm sorry?
How did you find us, man?
Oh, I go on different blog talk shows. I just have a smartphone with a web browser. I just browse the web and then I came across your show, and it breaks my heart because I know that I'm empathic, so I feel what you're talking about. But again, in order to solve it, we have to come together in the communities. That's where it all starts. And we have to, Even if you do it just with blacks, that's fine. But I have things that you can come back to learn on how to, what I'm looking to do is root out the corruption. I say, and it's the big corporations that are hijacking this country too. And I put them on notice. I say, any company, you have to empower your employees, your customers, be good to the environment, and give back to the community in ethical, legal, moral ways. When people wake up and realize election day is every single day you buy a product, if you're buying lead-based painted toys out of China through Walmart, your kids don't have a choice, but you do. And a lot of people don't know Walmart paid a fine of $82 million a few years ago. You can Google that. They were dumping pesticides down storm drains. So what's to stop them from doing it again or doing something else until they get caught? So what I'm doing is bringing transparency everywhere.
Walmart is total slime. Over in Japan, they have nets out of the buildings. Walmart's where the word is work for the suicides. Walmart is crazy. They sell known carcinogens in just about everything. They don't give a shit. They know it kills people. It's crazy. It's crazy. Well, I'll tell you what, do me a favor. We're usually on every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Central. Feel free to join us anytime.
Well, you're welcome. If you have my number there, you're welcome to call me.
I sent you a friend request, man. I'm Brandon.
Facebook page is the one with me with my figure on the big marble ball or globe. And I'm just putting together strategies with somebody that if you ask us to come back to you when we have them, this will apply to every individual, every nonprofit, every business, and it will truly empower everything with total transparency.
Hey, Hugh, go to your Facebook page and accept my request.
I don't see it. The guy that handles it will. He'll come back to you. I personally don't do anything inbound or outbound on the Internet. Everything on the Internet has been put there by people who interact with me. And since you have a blog talk show, I have a friend and mentor who has a show based on the law of attraction. It's Focused Change with Dr. Ed. He hasn't been on in a while. He had some problems with his computer, but he's in Florida.
Why don't you come back on the show in 2 weeks, man? Come back on in 2 weeks.
Keep my number. Give me a call. I'll even come on as a guest sometime if you like. But
that's
research.
What I'm talking about. We want you as a guest, man.
Number and let's arrange that. But what I'd like you to do is really go into depth on that website. It's www.rootingoutcorruption.weebly.com, because I actually share common background with President Trump, but I'm not into the ego like he is. My last name has global recognition. You'll see on the Charleston and Trump page, Charleston refrigerators are all over the world. They're in Trump hotels or even in the White House kitchens. And there's a blog, the word creativity, 777.com, which has a copy of a letter from former President Obama to me related to the economy, a poem in the President Ronald Reagan Library. And Maya Angelou even commented on my poem. If you put Hugh Charleston and Maya Angelou on YouTube, you'll come across that. I hope you might share it. So I was just blessed to have caught up with her and the kind words she had to say about what I'm doing.
Definitely, Hugh. We will be in touch. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and again, I appreciate it. And that's the first thing when people see how they've been, they get so, there's so much horrible things going on that they start going into a rage. That's the wrong way to go. Love is God energy. It's the most powerful energy there is. And my heart is looking to show what Dr. Martin Luther King was saying is so true. The dreams can manifest now with the technology. So it's just a question of coming together peacefully in the community, embracing our differences, learning from each other. We all have the same basic wants and needs. And as I get off with you real quick, I want to just throw this out. I say to people, if you had the choice to make immediately, which would you choose to be, an embittered paraplegic billionaire worth a healthy, happy person with your basic needs met. Now, some people might jump right on the billionaire, but after a couple of days, I think they'd regret it. All these people that are doing these horrible things, they're all going to go back into spirit where we all came from. The material goods have absolutely no use there, and they will be accountable. So hold in your rage and work with God from your heart. Religions, if they all function properly in the world, nobody would be without clean water, proper food, and shelter. So that's where religions need to get straightened out, too. Four big areas are controlling us. It's mainstream media, big government, big business, and religions. And that's where we have to bring it back and transform everything.
Definitely, definitely. Well, I'll tell you what, Hugh, thanks again. You enjoy the upcoming holidays. Have a wonderful new year, and I'll get at you here in about a couple weeks. And
all right, terrific, and you're in my prayers. And again, that's the most powerful thing. If you can't do anything else, you can pray, and God will put the ego in check where it needs to be. So God bless everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Yeah, we appreciate Hughes. We're going to get a hold of him. We got a couple callers we're going to go to real quick. We got a you're live. How you doing? I don't know your area code because you called from a blocked number, but feel free to speak. Yes, Hugh, the one that just clicked the phone. You're live. Watch. You're muted. Now you're live again, so you know it's you. Okay, you're back. Okay, that one just hung up. Hello.
Yeah, sometimes they just be wanting to listen and shit.
Yeah, but we don't do that block number shit.
Stop pressing.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Stop
Hello.
Pressing one.
They don't do that no more, man.
All right, we're gonna shut it down. These guys do not want to speak, obviously. Fucking trolls. We don't want that shit.
Yep.
We don't know who you are. Well, you might be the cops, right? I mean, we did interview Professor Griff tonight.
Hey, prayers. And I did do my good deed for the end of the year, too, before the end of the year. These motherfuckers at my job called me at 10 o'clock today. Like 10. I'm thinking I'm just going to drink beer, fucking smoke some weed, shit, you know what I'm saying? Watch football games and just be lazy. They called me like three times. I answered the phone, and they like, man, not only did one person call out, a second person call out. So I'm like, all right, I could probably try to come up there. Let me call y'all back. So I'm trying to give it some time to see if somebody they can find somebody first. Then they call and say a third person calls out. I said, fuck.
No choice there.
I could have still told them, go fuck yourselves. I'm off. I could have been like, man, I'm way the fuck out somewhere. By the time I get there, it's going to be 3, 4 o'clock or something. Like, yeah, I come in at 3 o'clock. I'm damn sure not going to come in at 11. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, you know what? I know how it feels when motherfuckers don't show up. And if I don't go in and help them out today, it's just going to fuck me for tomorrow. So swallowed my pride, and I told them, if you want me to come in, you're going to have to come pick me up. I'm not calling no Uber. I'm not doing none of that shit. I'm not putting gas in my old lady's car. They already know the battle wagon is down. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I'm not going to do all of that shit. If you want me to come in, get me up there. And then when I get there, you think you can stay till about 7, 7:30? Damn it. I didn't know they was going to say that shit. I thought it was going to work from like, you know, noon to about 5 maybe. Nah, I stayed till 7:30. So that's my good deed for the year for you motherfuckers. And I'm nominating my motherfucking bosses for Shit Bum of the Year for that. So when we do the Shit Bum Awards, you motherfuckers will be on the list.
Hey, yo, real quick, I hope my line's all right because I'm back in the house now. But real quick,
no,
I wanted my girlfriend
like
to get on here and tell you guys what she did today, but she don't want to. But listen, we saw these people outside of Walmart today, man, and there was homeless people and shit.
Walmart.
She went inside and spent $500 on gift cards and went out and gave them to these people, man, and gave them $100. Without even saying a word, she did that shit. I can't believe it because she's not a nice person, but she did that shit.
Man.
And she didn't want
to. Tell her to get on the fucking phone,
like
man, so we can salute
honest.
Her. You know what I'm saying? fuck?
I did. I wanted her to come on and tell you, but she didn't want to. She's sitting here mad that I'm telling you guys this. But she usually doesn't do generous shit like that. But she did without me forcing her to or anything. She did that shit. And I'm happy for her.
You know what? I always like them. Yeah, I always love shit like that. Because I always say that, too. Like, I want to be... Like, if I hit the lottery or I have some big money like that or something, I always want to be that dude that just go in the store and don't nobody know it, and everybody in there, I'm just like, open the registers up. Give me all their tabs. Like, whoever in line right now, I'm paying all your shit. So they're like, so that means if you need more shit, you better hurry up and go get it. It's like a 30-minute limit.
Yeah.
Everybody in this bitch,
I mean,
I'm going to pay for this shit.
She came across some extra
That's
money.
That's dope, man. That's dope.
As of late,
dope,
man, and she ran into some money, and I'm just happy for her. She did something cool.
Man, that's dope. And she's gonna get that money don't even mean shit, but she's gonna get way more positive shit for her for doing that, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
a lot of people won't do no shit like that, Pat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I used to make my kids, when it be hot, we just go out and pass out the water bottles. Like, hey, look, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know y'all really don't want to do this shit, but just think about it, man. You just was outside in front of the house and you was hot and wanted some water. Think about these motherfuckers that's just out there all day. Or, like, all these motherfuckers making it rain in the club. But what's up with a coat drive? It's kids out here that don't even got warm coats. You know what I'm saying? Velvet had a story on the news last night where his first grader had wrote, they started some GoFundMe page because now they getting paid. But the little first grader, all she wanted for Christmas, the letter to Santa said, a ball so she could play with her little brother. Now, that's a little girl, first grade. So she's 5 or 6 years old. She wanted a ball, some food, and a blanket because she'd be cold at home. I'm like,
damn.
What the fuck? Now, you read all these other first graders, they like, I want the baby alive doll. They want this little girl thinking about a ball so she can play with her little brother, some food, and a fucking coat. I mean, a blanket. So they doing a blanket drive. That was the thing. Now they got enough blankets to give every student at the school a blanket. I said, man, that's the littlest.
My girlfriend just said that's the saddest thing she ever heard.
Man, it's the littlest shit, man. It make us sad because we out here bullshitting and complaining about certain shit. But it's when you hear the little kids say this type of shit, because they don't know no difference. Like, they don't know the concept of, because some people won't even tell people they're struggling because they don't want to be embarrassed about it. But a kid don't know. They just, what do you want for Christmas? Shit, I'm cold every day, so I want another blanket when I go to bed. I want some food. And me and my brother, you know, she didn't ask for a baby doll to play with by herself. She asked for a ball. That's all it said was a ball. Didn't say soccer ball, but she was a little Mexican girl, so she probably wanted a soccer ball or something they could play around with. You know what I'm saying? She could interact. So she's looking out for her little brother. I said, man, babies and kids shouldn't be even forced with them type of decisions, man. But it's the world we live in, so that shit is crazy.
Yeah. Well, hey, fellas.
Salute to your girlfriend, though, man. $500, man. Gift cards, man.
That's a rare quality people have today. Not too many people willing to do that. So props to her.
Fuck no.
I didn't know she had it. I'm not even lying.
Tell her keep doing it. If y'all ever need something from me, man, I'll pay it forward. You know what I'm saying? You know my number. So
I appreciate that, man. And likewise,
real shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, Mac, what are you doing tomorrow night, man?
Man, I don't know. I gotta work, but when I get home, shit, probably fucking nothing.
I'm doing a West Coast tribute to all the people that passed away from the West Coast tomorrow night.
Oh, hell yeah. Everybody that's dead and gone. Mac Dre, Pac, all of them cats. Eazy-E.
Jacka. Big
Jacka.
Nate Dogg. Yep. Nate Dogg.
Seagram. You got to get him in there.
Yeah.
Man, we lost a lot of good ones from out there. Yep, we lost a lot of good ones.
I neglected the West Coast for a little while on the show, so I'm hit. That last week I did Ice Cube, and this week I'm going to do for the ones that ain't here no more, you know, just to show West and
love. Hey, that's the beauty of your show, though, Pat, because you could travel all over the world with what you're doing, all over the country. Because you can hit up down south too. So next thing you know, you're gonna be hitting up the Midwest. I already know it. It's coming.
I already did it. That was one of my first episodes. Was the RIP to the Michigan folks, man. You know what I mean? I did like MC Breed and Bone Scandalous and TNT and shit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
I see you politicking with EC Illa. No, hey Perez, what's up with EC Illa? Well, he don't want to come on the Murder Master Music Show. I know y'all been hitting him up, but I think he's following me and shit now, so I might hit him up too.
You don't want to?
He don't
want to
do interviews.
Yeah, he's not with interviews. But
I can respect that.
What do we got? We got Mo Preen Tuesdays, hopefully. You know, I've been talking to him so far, set in stone. Then Wednesday we got My Son, and then we're off. You know what I'm saying? Until Christmas week, we got an interview with, we got one interview. Well, actually, Christmas Day, we got a brand new interview with Dice. And then we got Godfather Part 3 that will probably go on before Christmas Day. So, Sinister Sounds on the
phone. Right. I didn't even know you motherfuckers was on the phone. I just was like, let me call in real quick. These cocksuckers on the line. But I would have been late for that shit. I would have been late for that shit anyway.
Riff was an hour early.
Yeah,
but he came in and gave us an interview. I got a lot of work to do now. I got a lot of work to do.
Hell yeah.
Not much really, man, because I know what's good. But he spoke a lot of real shit. You know what I'm saying? Props to him for coming through. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people sometimes just stand you up. You know, you don't get the interview done.
And props to y'all for asking the questions that need to be asked. You know what I'm saying? We don't do this shit for the publicity. I be really wanting to see what these motherfuckers gonna say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if people wonder, like, are you had to ask them about it? Yeah, I be wondering what these motherfuckers be thinking for real. Especially if we get somebody on here that we ain't had in a long time, or we've never had them on the show. They'd be like, shit, we gotta reel them in. It's almost like catfishing. We like catfishes, bro. They don't even know what the fuck we look like. They don't know the setup. They all think we in the same city. We grinding mics from three different cities. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody out here doing shit like that, man. Plus, salute to San Hackman over there, the French Connection.
Yeah, he's way over there. It's what time is it? 5 a.m. over there, San?
That shit is crazy.
From the sin.
Yes, sir.
What's that doggy dog?
Sitting over there drinking coffee and shit. It's early in the morning. She's going to walk the dogs.
It's
Lord Sinfamous. What time is it?
4 o'clock.
4 in the morning?
Yeah.
Or 4? Yeah, that's...
Yeah, man.
That's that grind time.
You might be
going to
interview
like,
someone from Saudi Arabia. And that's
what I'm
going to
be getting up.
Like,
4 o'clock, sorry.
Yeah. I salute you, Sam, for being able to maintain that shit and get up with it. Same with D-Tag. Like, D-Tag, he on the other side of the map, man. He to participate and contribute to the shit that we do, he had to stay up. I bet that motherfucker he don't sleep. He just probably take naps.
Yeah, he don't. And you heard his beats, he ain't even from this planet.
Fuck, I think Prayers, you probably like that too. Prayers probably don't really sleep. He's just taking naps, and then maybe every so often you get that day where you can get some sleep in.
Oh man, look.
Usually that's Saturday for me.
I know.
I get off work on Fridays, and I know I ain't got to work the next day, so people think I'm gonna hang out. But I'm an old motherfucker now, Prayers. I don't be wanting to. When I get home from work on Friday, I just be like, I know I ain't got to get up in the morning. Fuck everything. I'm just right here at the crib. I don't want to go to a club and be standing up or at some stupid-ass bar with some stupid, stupid, loud-talking motherfuckers all in my face. And if it's a bar that you can smoke, because a lot of them you can't smoke, but some of them you can, you go up in there and it's like 50 people smoking 50 different cigarettes. That shit is disgusting. Even though I smoke cigarettes, I hate being in a room because I always smoke outside. I don't like being inside smoking. That's just me. So if I go in a room and it's like 50, that should kill you.
Yeah, I don't.
I haven't been to a bar in a long fucking time. And
you ain't missing shit, probably.
Last time I was at a bar, I almost got into a fight. And and I end up leaving the bar drunk as shit trying to drive, which is a stupid fucking thing.
Oh, yeah, you was tripping.
I'll go driving drunk.
That had to be a long time ago, though, huh, Perez?
Yeah, that was a few years back. Some guy, I was down at shots. Some guy's like, can you handle your liquor? And
young
I was like,
Perez,
can you handle the beating you're about to get if you don't shut the fuck up?
Right, fuck out of here, you know what I'm saying? I hate when I go to a bar and it's always that one dude up in there.
Little asshole.
Yep.
That's why I don't even fuck with that shit, man.
You know, me either, probably the same way now.
But if I were to, I'd just do it at home rather than go out there and risk getting caught up in some bullshit. But you know me, I'm a smoker. I'm a midnight toker. God damn it.
I'm a midnight toker.
Where I'm clipping these damn clips, looking into the computer with eyes that don't even work. It's very difficult.
Right.
Interns, you are welcome.
The Bulls been doing their thing a little bit. I don't know if they get excited or not, but
5 or 6 in a row, right?
They looking kind of spiffy. Like, they might just be missing some pieces. We'll see, though, man. I still don't trust that Hoiberg motherfucker. And Meritek, him and Portis, they look like they cool. And if they can gel together for real, they can be. They got length on that team right now. They got long arms on that motherfucker.
Meritek, he came in after he got knocked. He got his facial bones broken by Portis. I think that really that made him a better player, as odd as that sounds. You know what I'm saying? So
he better not. He's probably looking at it like, I can't take this shit for granted now. Fuck, you better get out here and get your money because he's playing for a contract too. So the Bears been pissing me off. I see Pat was telling me earlier that the Patriots, they own the Steelers once again. I know you don't be really on that football shit, but Pratt, it's a good thing you don't.
Because you're a Bears fan. Like, it was a great game.
Brady, like, 10-1 against y'all. That's what I'm talking about.
They get us every time. But, like,
yeah, they always find a way to win.
We were up. Like, we were winning just by 1 point because they missed an extra point. Dude, Brady threw a pass and it got tipped. And dude, Sean Davis had the interception, man, and he fucking dropped it. And then the next 3 plays, Brady just threw to Gronkowski and it, like, he scored a touchdown in 3 plays.
Brady the greatest now. Hey, Prez, he might actually be a clone or like a cyborg or some shit in real life. Because he's still doing this shit.
But, yo, listen, yo.
At a high level.
So, like, look, the Patriots are up by 3 points, right? We have the ball. It's like 1 minute left. Ben throws like a 5-yard pass to that rookie kid, Juju. I can't even explain it. Like, he went up the sideline and, like, just, like, moved around somebody, and he went, like, 70 fucking yards.
Yeah, Juju Cole.
And then the very next play.
He scored
the
touchdown?
No, he got to the 10-yard line. And then Ben throws the ball to the next play. Ben throws it to the tight end, and, like, he catches it, like, as he's falling to the ground. But it's a clean catch. His knee hits the ground and everything, but, like, when his knee hits, like, he has it in his arms. Well, he puts it in his hands to stretch it across the fucking goal line. Well, when, like, the ball moved a little bit. So they said it wasn't a catch. But if it's one of those, like, Calvin Johnson situations where it's a fucking catch.
This might be a rule change. It might be a rule change. Yeah, he didn't catch it by the rule.
Yeah. It was one of those things was a catch.
Yeah,
the Bears,
even though the Bears only lost by 10, I'm glad you a Bears fan, I already know. But I'm glad you ain't all the way in it, because you'd be just as disappointed as me right now. You'd be like, man, fuck these motherfuckers.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's just like watching the Bulls, like, why the fuck did y'all trade Jimmy Buckets, man? Like, what the fuck was y'all thinking? Y'all already had him under contract.
When you performing at a competitive level and you're making the playoffs every year. You know what I'm saying? People were winning awards left and right. I mean, even though they weren't winning championships, they were on their way to that. They just needed a few more pieces.
They were still a respectable team.
Yo, I just figured out our sports show. You know how they got First Take, right? Well, we should do me versus Mac J, Worst Take, and we'll get drunk while we're doing it, and we'll just argue about sports for an hour.
There you go.
But if you want to do a show like that with me, because me and my other partner, he wanted to do some YouTube shit like that. I'm telling him, the only reason why I be telling Bay, he don't want to do the research on the shit that I already know. You know what I'm saying? Like, this motherfucker just started watching football within like the last 10, 12 years. But he 30 years old, so you got to do the research. Like, I don't want to hear all this LeBron shit when I'm comparing Mike Jordan and shit. You know what I'm saying? And players, you know how we is, man. We remember that shit.
Look, the NBA is my favorite sport. I know more about sports than I know about hip hop. For real. Sports has been my first love.
You should really dive into that then.
I know a lot of the history.
Yeah. See, I don't like talking sports with motherfuckers that don't want to do the history. Like, I was telling this dude about Ricky Henderson one time, and he was like, oh, he wouldn't have been able to do it. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You don't even know what he was doing. I said, this motherfucker was stealing like 30, 40 bases, 50, 60 bases. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't do that shit no more. I said, can you imagine every time he got on base, he's stealing one of them?
Yeah.
He's better than 50%. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't play baseball like that no more. And I really don't like talking baseball with these young motherfuckers, because I don't think most of the young motherfuckers really into baseball unless they into it because it's a family thing. And I see that out here in St. Louis. You got people that don't know shit about the game, but they love going to the games and wearing the Cardinals stuff and, you know, doing this shit. They go to the game and don't watch the motherfucker not one time. They just there for the atmosphere and the – it's Cardinals, it's a tradition for them.
If that's what you claim you are, if you say, like, no, I'm not really, I don't really follow them, I just go to the game, like, you know what I mean? I respect that.
My prayers, when we beating them bitches' ass, I love it. But I hate, for real, even when I go to Cardinals games and they not playing the Cubs, I still root against their ass. I don't give a fuck who they playing. Fuck them. I should start just going live every time I'm at a game. Fuck them. I'll be in the belly of the beast. I'll be feeling like I'm a Crip when I'm wearing all this Cub shit. And all these bloods at this motherfucking heel. Just head, like, they be deep.
They love this shit.
They die. But that's what makes it good, though. That's what makes it a good sport, man. Because if you didn't have them rivalries and stuff like that, what would it be? What would be the use for it? Just to see who's playing?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
would it be fun?
The Cubs could lose. That's why I don't like that bandwagon shit. People keep asking me who you rooting for to make it to the Super Bowl. If it ain't the Bears, I don't give a fuck who go. I just hope it's a good game. But I'm rooting for my team and my team only. I'm not saying go them and go them. Fuck them. The Bears didn't make it. Fuck, we only got 4 wins. This shit is depressing. We only got 4 wins, man.
If we was to play
the AFC North every week, we'd be in first place because all our wins came against your division, and we still got to play the we beat Carolina too, man. We still got to play the Browns.
Hey, you guys want to know something funny before we get out of here? There's
right.
Those 111 numbers. They've been in the cream room for about the last half hour.
they love us. They've been listening.
They're hearing absolutely nothing. They're just in there listening.
Thank you for your support.
Green room. I don't even know what's in the green room right now. But we're going to get the fuck out of here. Thank you guys for calling in tonight and chopping up with us. I got to get out of here before you and Mac open up a sports bar on my ass. But we're going to have a UGS sports show eventually. You know what I'm saying? Don't know when or where or how often, but it's going to happen, man. We might as well make it a reality. All right, fellas, y'all take care. Elaine, we love you. Everybody have a safe holiday. We'll see you guys, after all this shit, the holidays, New Year, all that stuff. Catch you guys after the first.
Yes, sir. Peace. BGS in life.